91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. As Over the Rhine, now commonly called OTR, continues to thrive with new restaurants, shops, and places to live in areas south of Liberty. But further north around Findlay Market, the area is not developing quite as quickly. Now the new Findlay Market District is looking to change that. Here to discuss development of the Findlay Market District, future development, and challenges that come with the new growth, our co-owner of the Epicurean Mercantile Company, Chef Meredith Trombley, Executive Director of the Over the Rhine Chamber of Commerce, Kelly Adamson, and Chief Operating Officer of the Model Group, Bobby Maley. Am I saying that right? I didn't ask.
Maley? You nailed it.
All right. And joining us on the phone, WCPO reporter Bob Driehaus, who has written about the area as well. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or also on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, Bob. Okay. So I think the first thing we need to do is explain what the Findlay Market District is. What are the boundaries? How is it set up? And Kelly, maybe you can start there.
Well, I was going to say let Bobby do
Bobby,
that.
Bobby, all right,
well.
Bobby, yeah. Your turn.
Well, I think technically there is no boundary, and that's a good thing. Like we've seen in other parts of Over the Rhine, we can be intentional about trying to redevelop things next to anchors like Findlay Market and connect blocks, but we want to allow for some organic growth of development to occur the way it sort of plays out in the community. And so there's no technical boundary, but I guess what I would describe the district where we're initially starting is the immediately adjacent streets next to the market. So you're talking 1,800 block of Elm, 1,800 block of Race, 1,700 block of Elm and Race, as well as Findlay and Elder. So those are the immediately adjacent blocks that we're focusing on to start.
And you've bought a number of buildings in that area, is that right? Can you tell us what's happening right now?
Yeah, so our company, we love to be a part of neighborhood revitalization, and seeing what else has gone on around the rest of the country with respect to people moving back to urban neighborhoods to work and play and live for the last three decades. Certainly, we've seen that in Cincinnati and other parts of Over the Rhine. We just felt like there's nothing like Findlay Market, and there were a number of vacant buildings around the market, and we felt like it was a real opportunity. And so we have embarked on a $55 million effort called Market Square, which is basically three phases for us, 30 buildings, $55 million total investment, but that includes 120 apartments and 75,000 square feet of office and retail space like our grocer friends here.
Well, let's talk about what you're doing. Tell us, Meredith, a little bit about why you decided to move. You were operating out of Findlay Market specifically initially, correct?
Correct. We have a fresh table inside Findlay Market House for the past 6.5 years. And we always thought we'd open another business under the fresh table umbrella. What it would look like, we didn't know. So my business partner and I, Chef Lewis Snowden, we decided about 2.5 years ago that the area probably was ready for a grocery store. Our backgrounds are grocery store related. We used to work for Biggs. I was a buyer. He was the corporate chef. So it seemed like a natural fit. And we were hearing from people that they would like a grocery store downtown or OTR. So we actively started looking. And we found a great spot across the street at 1818 Race. And so it was a good fit with the Model Group to develop that space and be kind of like the anchor tenant. So it's about 6,000 square feet.
Now, some people would say, well, people shop at Findlay Market and they get what they need there. But you're trying to do something a little bit different. It's not you're not selling exactly the type of things that are sold inside the market.
No, we're looking to complement what the market already has. And it is a full-line urban grocery store. So you can get things like paper products, cleaning products, things like that that aren't available. And that's part of the one-stop shopping. And plus, we have a pretty cool restaurant in the back.
Now, wasn't it a little scary to take that leap? I mean, it probably was real safe in Findlay Market, and you were doing well there. But to take that leap and be the very first one?
Yes, that's a good way to put it. It's a huge leap for us. But we have faith in the neighborhood. We want to give back to the neighborhood. We have items, merchandise for everybody. Everybody shops at Findlay Markets. We want everybody to be comfortable and shop at the Epicurean Mercantile Company. So, for instance, I'll have Tide laundry detergent next to Seventh Generation laundry detergent. So it's from high to low with something for everybody.
Now, Bob, you did a lot of research about this whole district. Why don't you tell us what it is you found as you were doing your reporting?
Well, it's really remarkable to watch. I just started covering development as my beat this year, and I've seen it as a consumer, what's been going on around Findlay Market, but to really walk the streets and talk to people like Meredith and Bobby really brought it home that what had been, you know, Findlay for years was to a great extent kind of an island for people coming in from the suburbs. You would park, you'd go to Findlay, you'd get back in your car and go home, but there's really a lot happening in the block surrounding it, especially with the new residential development. Jean Robert moved up to open his French Crust. There's Harvest Pizza coming, the Epicurean. So the neighborhood is really, the pace of development has really quickened in the last few years.
Kelly, talk to us a little bit about Over the Rhine in general and how things have developed. It seemed the area around 12th and Vine and that whole general vicinity there has developed well over the past several years, and it hasn't moved north of Liberty. Why do you think it's developing in stages like this?
You know, I think with a lot of cities that we've seen nationally, it all starts in, you know, a lot of times consistently in one area, and someone takes a risk, and then other businesses will follow, but then they, you know, want to stay close to each other because you have that walkability and you can just go from when people come shopping, normally they go one place to another. They're not just going, you know, just to one single spot. So I think they started congregating together in Vine Street, which was started to develop. It had a wonderful streetscape that went along with it. And then, of course, you know, 3CDC developed Washington Park, which was in proximity to Vine Street. And so people would go and they would find that shop, work, and, you know, play area right there. And I think people are just kind of still a little unsure of the testing the waters anywhere alternate to Vine Street. And that's kind of what the Chamber is now working on doing, is helping to build those connector streets and to let businesses know, you know, we're here to support them. We want them to take that risk to further develop in all of Over the Rhine's, you know, community, so we can have that completely walkable community. And so I think sometimes it was just people just seeing other businesses doing that, and they wanted to be in proximity to it. But it's just all about building out from there and taking that risk, which developers such as, you know, Model Group have done such a great job of looking at some buildings and seeing this massive plan such as Market Square and building a beautiful blueprint for businesses to then want to come and occupy.
Bobby, when your group bought these buildings, there you look at the buildings in Over the Rhine and even 10 years ago, you think, oh, I don't know, that looks like it doesn't seem safe, or it doesn't seem like it's a, you know, it was great for the movie sets. All the movies wanted to come around and take pictures. But what do you find when you go into these very old buildings? I mean, is it 100 years old? Was that, or older than that?
Yeah, most of the buildings in Over the Rhine were built between 1870 and 1890. The vast majority were built in that period. So we have, you know, there's a reason a lot of these buildings were vacant for so long. And it's exciting for us to see the market, small M market, not Findlay Market, start to thrive again. And so, you know, we actually don't view this as certainly a very different profile and risk that you would have described 12th and Vine in 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8. The market has been thriving. I mean, I think it's one of the third or fourth most visited places in Cincinnati already.
Findlay Market,
mm-hmm. Yes. Even with that island of blight, you know, sort of situation that it has lived in for the last couple decades even. So I think we didn't look at this as very risky big picture. I think in any individual building, on the other hand, there are significant problems.
What do you find?
Oh, well, we find sometimes we'll do demolition and abatement and think we've got a dry building, great news. This one's probably in good shape. And a month later, the building facade is pulled 2 feet away from the rest of the building because someone had gone inside and sort of cowboyed some demolition 30 years ago. And so we'll have to take down the entire facade and build it all back up again. You find things like that. Those are bad days.
Do you start from scratch? I mean, what do you keep when you go in?
Well, it depends on what is in the building already. There is a wide variety of buildings that have been essentially nuked inside versus buildings that still have a significant amount of their historic fabric intact. It is truly, building to building situation.
Meredith, what did you find? Was the building already starting to be rehabbed when you were looking to get in there, or did you get to make the decisions and see it from the bones out?
When I first saw it, it was totally abandoned, no electricity, standing water. The floor had holes big enough to swallow your leg, and it was originally set up for 4 separate retail parcels. So in order to go from parcel to parcel, you had to go downstairs to the scary basement and then pop back up to the other one. And I originally saw it with my architect, Kurt Platt.
With hip boots on? Or
It felt like that, yes. And so, you know, we're down there with our cell phone flashlights. But the thing that I saw that enchanted me about the building was it had good bones, and I could see the possibilities. Just walking through that kind of mess because it had been abandoned for so long.
Well, that takes a special person to see that. I always tell my husband he's really good at visualizing things, and I'm horrible at visualizing things. It's like, draw me a picture. Okay, draw me another picture. Draw me a model. Maybe I can figure it out. Are you good at that? I mean, could you? How are you able to see
through
that?
Lewis and I, we walked that store. We had it laid out 15 minutes later. We just saw the possibilities, and it had a naturally raised mezzanine level in the back, which said restaurant. So it just spoke to us right from the beginning, and we were so fortunate to find that big enough space because it is hard to find 5,000 to 6,000 square feet.
How long did it take to go from that first walkthrough to opening up?
Bobby, how much? Was it 9 months? Was it?
It was longer. Probably every bit of a year.
Yeah. It was longer. It was about a year. Yes.
So it takes a little time.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful space. I mean, I encourage everyone to go in there and see what they have done. It's truly unique, and it really echoes, you know, the architecture that Over the Rhine sees. And on the inside, they've just done a wonderful job.
Bob, and
there's a running theme, of good bones that I've heard through all these buildings and Over the Rhine. I think Bobby could speak maybe to it a bit, but, these were built 120 years ago, and they still they're what, 4 or 6 bricks deep, and these things, they don't even need lateral support because the structure is so strong that generally speaking that you can go back in and with a lot of rehab bring it back to something amazing, as opposed to poorly built buildings from 50 years ago that just need to be torn down.
Bob, you in your article, you had a great quote from one of the people that owns one of the buildings there, and they said that you really bring love to these buildings, and they said, no, we bring Benjamins. I mean, can you talk about that?
Yeah, that's right. That's the owner of Artichoke, this high-end cookware store right next to Findlay Market. And yeah, he said that everybody talked about how these buildings just need a little love. And he said, it's not love, it's a lot of Benjamins. And he said, love comes later. So the challenge, the reason that these things had been dormant for decades is it takes a lot of money. So if your model group, as Bobby will tell you, you need to know that there's going to be a return on your investment on the other side, because these are really, there's a lot of money to pump into these to get them back into good shape.
Location, location, location. That's what we often hear about places like this, and this area is becoming a hot location. Did it ever occur to you, Bobby, that maybe you should buy them all up and then tear them down and start fresh?
Well, even if that would have occurred to us, nobody would let us do that. But no, it's really not what we believe in. I would say one of the great things about Over the Rhine and the way the world is returning to now, certainly our country, is people want to live in dense urban neighborhoods where they can experience running into people in chance encounters, have lots of conversations and experiences that you can't just artificially create in the suburbs. And I think that's one of the advantages we have in Over the Rhine and why people have been flocking back to urban cores. The beauty of Over the Rhine, and certainly this area is no exception, is that this is the way people lived and the way they built these buildings originally. There was retail, there was commercial on the first floor, and there was lots of activity, which created life and excitement and energy and safety on the first floor. And then you have dense residential population above, some 50-some thousand people living in Over the Rhine itself in 1900, if you can even imagine that.
Well, this brings us to a question we just got from Amy, who emailed and said, can you talk about affordable housing plans in the district, which seem to be lacking in lower OTR?
Sure. That's a loaded question. I think if you talk to 10 different people in Over the Rhine, they would give you 10 different answers of what is the appropriate mix of affordable housing and market rate housing, and what does affordable housing mean? The short answer is that I think there are a lot of people who are being very purposeful about including affordability in the redevelopment of Over the Rhine north of Liberty. And so that can include things like what Cornerstone is doing at 17th and Race right now.
What are they doing?
They're doing a something called Renter Equity. It's a pretty incredible program where tenants participate in the operation of their property. They also earn equity from each of their, you know, each month they pay rent, and if they're a good member of the community, they'll earn equity from that rent every month that they can build up to acquire a home or buy a car, send their kid to school. There's 50 units going on in that area right now under construction. So those are affordable to people who make somewhere between $24,000 and $35,000. That's a good example. That's 50 units. That's happening a block away from where we're focused. There are a lot of things that, you know, because it takes a lot of Benjamins, as I think Mr. Hughes said, you know, you start with the love, then you got to figure out the money, and then you finally remember that you do love it, in fact, after going through this painful process. But it takes, you know, being very intentional about including affordable housing, because if you restrict the rents, you're going to increase the amount of dollars that you have to bring to get it done. I will say there are a lot of people paying attention. Certainly City Council is paying attention, talking a lot about including affordable housing in developments in all of Over the Rhine.
You made an interesting comment, and Kelly, maybe you can talk about this too, how back in the, I think you said the 20s, there were 50,000 people living in Over the Rhine. How many people could actually live there now? How big could
it be? It should never be 50,000. This is tenant housing. It's not all rosy and peaches, but Kelly, I don't know if you have an opinion on that.
No, I mean, we would love to go back to the heyday. Like, I was reading something recently, and it used to be called, you know, the Paris of America, and I would love to get back to that stature and have it grow again. That might be a little might be a little crowded, but we certainly want to get back to the point where we are a full service, you know, all areas, all acreage of Over the Rhine. Has, you know, residential neighborhood. It has the nonprofit piece to it, has the retail piece to it. It has a very sustainable, healthy neighborhood that is just continuing to thrive from here on out. So I think that growth can definitely get there. And how much we can hold, you know,
that's up to. How many people live in Over the Rhine now?
That is a number that I'm actually
10?
Don't want to.
10-ish?
10,000?
Yeah. So
Bob,
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
About 10,000. So okay, so a fifth of what we were talking about.
Yeah, a fifth, and I would say, you know, certainly over 20. This neighborhood is dense enough to handle over 20,000, probably even closer to 25,000-30,000.
Are you drawing your business, Meredith, from people just in Over the Rhine? Or are you getting people from all over?
You know, I originally thought it was Over the Rhine downtown shoppers and people who are at Findlay Market. But since we opened on May 23rd, I've been talking to people, and I have people coming from Hyde Park. I have people coming from Mount Auburn, Mount Adams, Clifton Heights. So all those kind of hill neighborhoods, East Walnut Hills, were kind of very convenient for them just to come that way. And so I've been surprised because people are coming from those neighborhoods. And they have come in 2 and 3 times already to do their grocery shopping. So that was a surprise for me, because I thought I would be just, you know, dealing with the OTR and the Central Business District.
We're just about out of time. I want to remind everybody that on our webpage, WVXU.org, the Cincinnati Edition page, you'll find a link to Bob's feature story about all this that's happening in this area of Over the Rhine. Thank you all for being here. It's really been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne.
We've been talking about the development of the Findlay Market District. My guests today were co-owner of the Epicurean Mercantile Company, Chef Meredith Tremblay, executive director of the Over the Rhine Chamber of Commerce, Kelly Adamson, and chief operating officer of the Model Group, Bobby Maley, and WCPO reporter, Bob Driehaus.